On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked for where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, after the words of his life.
Something that I've always wondered is what the facial expressions of the apostles and of the Pharisees and of Pontius Pilate was when they discovered that the tomb was empty. What was their reaction when just days before, 3 to be exact, they had put Jesus to death, and now they're hearing these stories that he's appearing to people, and that he's again walking the streets of Jerusalem? It's pretty safe to say, especially with the words that we heard in the gospel today, that the disciples were terrified. There was a certain element of fear. And it's interesting that on this Sunday, as our celebration of Easter has just begun, we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. We celebrate a Lord, a God, that is full of compassion, kindness, mercy, and forgiveness. That the same man that they put to death, as he comes back, does not come to get revenge. He does not say, he's not angry, but instead, he says a number of times, "Peace be with you." I was thinking about how change can be difficult, and sometimes we have positive change in our life, such as graduation that's coming up for some of our high schoolers and college students, and how we might have a career change. And those are moments where it's exciting, but it's also change. And change is always difficult, no matter what it is. But I've also been fortunate and blessed to walk with people this past year, to walk with some of you that have walked through hard change. change of maybe losing a loved one through death or through some other means. And that's hard too, because something is different. It's not what we're used to. But what does Jesus offer us in the gospel? He says, "Peace be with you." And I know in my own life, and I'm sure from many of the stories that I've heard, it's not always easy to be at peace in our lives. Sometimes it is, but there are other times it's not. And as I was thinking about these readings, and I was thinking about the divine mercy, I was thinking the Holy Spirit kept bringing me back to the idea of peace. And it's interesting that we're called to be at peace right after the consecration of the bread and wine into the body and blood of the Lord. We pray the Lord's Prayer, which is us asking for forgiveness, but it's also us asking for what we need to be good stewards, to be faithful disciples. And then we have more talk of peace. And I was interested to see the phrase, "Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, 'Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will.'" As I was thinking about peace and our call to be people of peace, especially in the risen Lord, I was thinking about the role of the deacon. We have Deacon Jeff Powell, and I know you guys have had a lot of experience with those of us as transitional deacons. And a question that I frequently get is, why are you ordained a deacon before a priest? And the answer is actually very important. Deacons are supposed to be ministers of charity. They're supposed to take communion to those that are sick, those that are not able to come and be here with our parish community. But they can also go and work with those that are in rehab. I know several deacons that have worked with those that have had drug addictions and different things like that. Or they go and work, do some ministry in prisons. And so they are walking the journey with those men and women who cannot be here, who are struggling, not in their lives. And it's important for me, it was important for me, and it still will be important for me, to remember that. To remember that Christ calls me as an ordained minister to charity, to be his messenger to the people that have been entrusted to my care. I was thinking also of what it means to be a man of integrity, a man of conversion, more and more faithfully conforming my life to Christ. And as I was thinking about it, I was also thinking about some changes that had happened here at Our Lady. We had said goodbye to Father Eric, and we welcomed Father Joe. And I saw how that was a transition for them. But I was also blessed to see how that was a transition for the Our Lady of Perpetual Help community. And even though it was a change, it shows me how merciful and faithful God is. He has given us two pastors, well, a number of pastors, but Father Eric and Father Joe, who love us, who love the Lord, and are men of integrity and conversion. And that's a good example for us, for the community here, but it's also a good example for me. Because as I go and continue on towards priesthood ordination, as I take my leave of school of St. Meinrad and am assigned to wherever the Holy Spirit sends me, it is an important reminder for me and for all of us that our lives are open, we're always meant to be open to continuous conversion. That through the sacraments of the Eucharist and reconciliation, sacraments of healing, they can help us to be at peace, they give us the graces that we need, that in the moments of difficulty, in the moments where we can't, where it's hard for us to see the way, it's important for us to remember that Christ calls us to be at peace. And in his loving kindness, he leads us to himself and gives us what we need.